Thank you for your attention. My name is Doug Hammaker. I'm the NIDS coordinator for the Texas Department of State Health Services in Austin, Texas. Again, what I'm going to be trying to do is springboard off of a lot of what Keith has kind of set the stage for, the GOTS solution of the NIDS-based system and how we've tried to evolve, or not tried to, it has evolved from a product into a solution. A lot of what I'm going to be talking about is our ELR system. Again, I can't really talk about our ELR system without trying to set the stage of what it is and how we've collaborated on the development. I'll also need to talk a little bit about the NBS. I'm not really going to be talking too much about the NBS per se, but more talking about the intersection of the electronic laboratory reporting process and how that has intersected and how the collaboration has really helped to promote that intersection with the ELR and NBS. As I'm doing that, I'm also going to talk a little bit about the mechanics and flow of our ELR system itself. That sets the stage to start talking about the collaboration per se. Again, the four categories that Keith discussed, the national system, the state to state, the state to local, and then programmatic to technology. I'm going to kind of talk to that in a cross-cutting strategy, not just with the programmatic to technology, but truly how ELR and how using it within this collaboration context has allowed it to be more of a collaboration of different programs, not just with IT. A little bit about NBS. In Texas, we first started reviewing it in 2003. We went live in 2004. I believe it was April of 2004. We did not initially accept the NBS product with the ELR capabilities. The state the size of Texas, we were looking at trying to bring in the NBS. The paradigm shift that Tina had talked about was going to be enormous, going from a NETS or a home organic grown system to the full-fledged web-enabled NBS. We knew that it was going to be quite a tall task in and of itself. So we really did not want to necessarily bring in the ELR capabilities that were built into the NBS initially. We also knew that electronic exchange of data, not truly ELR reporting in terms of taking data and getting it into a consumable within a product, within your system, we didn't have that, but we did have the electronic exchange of data. LabCorp, Quest, a number of other labs were sending files, some of them were HL7 files, that were then kind of sliced and diced and sent out to the field for paper manipulation and eventually direct entry into whatever system it was that it was going to go into. So we did kind of have the mechanics of exchanging electronic data and kind of the efficiencies involved with that, yet at the same time, we knew not to try to tackle that, at least initially. We started looking at a standards-based ELR system, again, looking at how can we take the data that was being transferred electronically and provided to the end user, if you will. How could we standardize and streamline that? One of the first things that we did was we participated in a CDC alpha project, and that was in early 2006, of the MSS project. We were looking at how could that project fit into the framework of where the NBS was sitting, and most particularly looking at things like, okay, the standard of LabCorp, but also looking at some of the non-standard Excel spreadsheets, et cetera. So we really wanted to explore that capacity. I bring that up because one of the hallmarks, in my opinion, of the participation in that project was we did adopt the use, bought into the use, if you will, of Rhapsody as our data exchange engine, our back end of doing the data integration. The ELR process, the ELR system that I'm going to describe to you in a few minutes, we went live in early 2007 with it, with getting data from laboratories, running it through the system, and actually having it all the way to the NEDS-based system and the other systems in an electronic format. Again, that was, I believe, March of 2007. We've sequentially added labs and expanded its abilities. So whenever I'm talking about ELR and kind of what it is that I'm going to be talking about, what is the Texas system, I kind of like to typically break it into to three distinct groups. The message creation group, which is not what I'm going to be talking about today per se, yet at the same time, it does have some degree of collaboration involved with it, and that is the use of messaging guides. And there are, within the message creation capacity, talking about it on the national system, we'll be talking about the HL7231 message guide for implementation of public health reporting. So that's in that context. Again, I'll go and brief into that later in this discussion. The messaging transport, getting it from the laboratories to where we need to be. Again, that's not really necessarily our system. There are tools and there's capacities in place. For the most part, in Texas, we're using FinMS. Our technical support here, Pete Varnell, has told me that I'm categorically correct and incorrect in calling it SFTP. It should be FTPS. Or again, I'm an epi. I'm not that capable in terms of what to exactly call it. Secure FTP. So we do embrace both of those standards in terms of transporting the data from the laboratories to our department. Messaging consumption. You've received the data. You need to prepare it and consume it actually within your data system. That really is the ELR system that I'm going to be describing from here on out. So how does it flow? Again, we talked about the creation. The ELR message is created by the laboratory and it's received by us electronically, either through FinMS or the SFTP services. The first thing that we're going to do is no matter what format it is, and I'm going to go with a graphic in just a minute to describe all of the various forms and fashions that we're receiving electronic data, we're going to transform those into an HL7231 message. Again, that's kind of the de facto standard. We're using the published guides, the CDC guides, on what is it that we're trying to put it into. During that transformation of going from either an HL7 or some type of a spreadsheet or something along those lines, we're also going to look at the content of it as well, not just the markup, but the content. And in some instances, in just about all instances, we're going to be doing some type of a vocabulary, either a validation, making sure that the vocabulary that they're using is the correct one, or oftentimes we're doing some type of a transformation. If they have local codes or they're using some type of a proprietary, you know, one and two for male and female, we'll go ahead and transform those over again to a standard, you know, a standard content. Well, what is a standard content? Well, there's a number of ways that we can slice and dice that. We either look at the HL7 specification itself. There's a number of standards within the specification of what should be the content of various fields. Oftentimes, those are referenced within the ELR implementation guides themselves, whether we're talking about the 231, its predecessor, the 23Z, and hopefully as we go into the 25, it will have that capability as well, too. FinVADS is out there as well, too. Oftentimes, we're referring to FinVADS. What does that mean? Well, LOINC and SNOMED, most particularly, and the standard translation of those, the reference that we're usually using is that which is contained within FinVADS. I also threw in a program area addendums. It's kind of the catch-all. Sometimes the STD program may want to have data either said in a certain way. The lead program may want to have data, you know, again, the content of the data looking and appearing in a certain way. We can transform that as well too. Classic example of that is phone numbers, for instance. If you look at a phone number, area code plus the 7 digits, some of them like the little parentheses, some of them want the dashes, you know, some of them just want them all, you know, one big old long string. So we can model it according to what their system consumables are requesting. From that, once we get it into a standard format within our system, regardless of how it came in, then we're going to go in and interrogate that payload, very specifically the LOINC and SNOMED, to see where does that thing need to go? Which system, which data system needs to own that electronic laboratory report that just came in? And then route it appropriately. HIV STD goes to the HIV STD system. Lead would go to lead, TB would go to TB. Core communicable disease, and that's kind of the big catch-all, will be coming over to the NBS for consumption within the NBS. Again, further transformation can occur right before. We've already standardized it to a 2-3-1. Again, if the STD program is wanting something very different than NBS, we can accommodate that even down to, it's no longer a 2-3-1 message. If it needs to be an ASCII format, needs to be a tab delimited, we can do that as well too. We can also, like I said, the content, not just the markup, but the content. That said, here's a picture of what it generally looks like. Currently we have 5 different labs that are within our production environment, the top 2, LabCorp, and our DSHS or state public health state lab are providing data in a 2-3-1 format. So we're receiving it in the nice agreed upon format. CPL and ARUP are giving us spreadsheets, and we convert those from an Excel spreadsheet to a tab delimited file that then can be consumed into our system. We're also taking a feed from the Christus Biosense project, again, a result of a participation and a collaboration with some of the CDC work that was going on with Biosense. That's actually in a 2-5 message format that we then convert down to a 2-3-1 format. Pending is Quest. We've kind of taken a look at the Quest mappings. I'm seeing some smiles out there. It's not a trivial activity on the one hand. On the other hand, we've made some very quick progress very recently. We've kind of set our guns onto Quest. It's in the pending category. I was able to look at some data that came out cheerfully nice the other day. I was very, very happy. So again, all of those will be transformed into a consistent and common 2-3-1 standard. If you kind of look at the green portion of this flow diagram, for the most part, the green portion is what Rhapsody is doing for us. So that's kind of what our Rhapsody route in a very general sense is and does. Again, once we get it to a 2-3-1 format, we'll standardize the content of what's being said within the messages, the individual messages themselves, and within Rhapsody we'll also, that's where the distribution occurs. And again, things that are going to be going to the NBS at the top, we use the existing processes that are within the NBS to take that, consume it on in. For those of us that are NBS users, that's the eWebbit product. Very specifically, we're having everything meet the LabCorp specification, because that is the one that is, for the most part, very well documented and very well published. So regardless of whether it came from LabCorp or it's coming from a spreadsheet in ARUP or it's coming from Christus, for the most part, eWebbit thinks it's all coming from LabCorp, because that's very specifically the specification that we're hitting to get it into the NBS. I put in the HIV STD program and the TB program. They're both receiving standardized ASCII text. Again, we have convinced them to use the same standardized ASCII text header. It makes our life a little easier on the one hand. On the other hand, it can accommodate differences as they see fit. Lead program is the same way as well. So here it is. Okay, there's the fine, good, neat thing on ELR, NBS. NBS had the capability. We're heading towards it. Now let's talk about collaboration. What did it take to get to that result, to hit some of those successes? I kind of racked my brain in saying, how can I describe on a national level how collaboration helped us? Because there's so many ways that we can go into that. I kept looking at tool standards and guides. Having 16 states that are all using the NBS has been very helpful. Not only is it a very well documented, but we're going to be starting to talk about some of the state-to-state collaborations that occurred as well too. So there's kind of the strength in numbers. As we look at strength in numbers, I mean, Rhapsody is in the vast majority of the states as well, too. I talked to the Orion folks earlier, and I think the number they're using is 46 of the states are using or have a Rhapsody license. So, you know, that was the vendor-provided number. I just know that it's many, if not most of us, have access to the Rhapsody license as well, too. Again, strength in numbers. We have the ability to really capitalize on our tools because we're starting to have common tools. Again, FinMS and the industry use of the secured FTP services for data electronic exchange. Again, it's strength in numbers because we're using very common tools. Those common tools also use very common standards. And whenever we're starting to deal with like the NBS, it promotes the use of the It in and of itself promotes the use of the core NEDS standards, the web exchange, the data exchange, et cetera. On the Rhapsody side, as we implement a core tool there, we're standardizing it to a core standard implementation guide as well, too. So again, that's our ability to influence those guides as well as the guides' ability to influence us. It again hits the bidirectional collaboration that Keith was talking about earlier. Very specifically, two of the guides that we're using, it's almost like our Bible, is the ELR implementation guide. Again, that was published a number of years ago, 2003, I believe. And again, that's how to use the 231 for the message creation. We also use the ELR specification guide for taking that 231 ORU and mapping it into the message and database. Again, it's a published guide. Anytime we have any questions, issues, concerns, development ideas, oftentimes we're turning to that guide, very well published documentation on how to solve it. This is the part that I'm most excited about, actually, the state-to-state collaboration. The buzzwords, interoperable and shareable, you know, we all love it, we all like it, we all think it's great. Okay, where the rubber hits the road, how do we do that with Rhapsody? Rhapsody routes and maps, I mean, they're not state-specific necessarily. I put a couple of examples up here. The graphics are somewhat hard to see, but there's a couple of labs that have, they put note fields in as if they were results. You know, the OBX field, it makes it look like it's a result. In reality, it's a note. So whenever I ran into that, I kind of went, oh my gosh, I knew of another state. Rob, if he's here, you know, thank you very much in Idaho. He had been doing some work as well too. He sent me a little snippet of code. Within a few minutes, bam, we're also taking that same lab, actually, and as well as another lab that was having the same nasty bad habit of putting those note fields in as results, and we're able to turn it into a properly formed note field within the NBS. We did some work on multiple results within one message. You know, you may get a hepatitis panel within Texas. We have hepatitis A going into one program area, hepatitis B going into a second, and hepatitis C going into yet again a third. So whenever you slice and dice it that way, you know, historically, those messages fail during many of the existing processes. Well, within our Rhapsody product, we did enlist the use of Rhapsody services, their collaboration services, and we were able to take that message result and flip it into, in this example, two different messages. In the example I just described, it would have been going into three different messages. Same header, same patient information, but three different results that then could be consumed by three different program areas. I say that in a form of collaboration. I mean, I just described how we developed it for us and use it for us. We have shipped that out to the other states too, that whenever we hear that they're needing a snippet of code to be able to do that. Rhapsody scripting in general, again, I've been given the 5 minutes, so I'm going to go a little bit quicker. question that we had was what to do with spreadsheets. Whenever we first came on board, one of the first labs that we brought on was AREP, a spreadsheet provider. At that time, we created a little Visual Basic script that then Pete figured out how to run it actually within Rhapsody that will take that that spreadsheet, turn it into a tab delimited, and still within Rhapsody, it runs it on through the route as if it was a an incoming ASCII text file. I've seen that script showing up in other states as well too, and it's kind of neat to see the genesis of that and as it goes along. Again, just seeing some solutions coming out from the use of a common product. Questions that we're asking all the time within the NBS world is, we're trying to write a message that needs to go into the NBS, and we're not exactly sure how this field goes into the data store. The how do you questions that keep coming up. It's really nice that whenever you can just refer to a common messaging guide and say, well, here's the published guide. This is how we did it. And there we can all come from a kind of common background there. State to state, again, I don't want to really brief over it yet at the same time because of time. Keith talked a little bit about the NEDS user group, the NUG group. I can't tell you how many times that we heard people before we brought on LabCorp into this system talking about some of the issues and some of the problems that they were having with how LabCorp was going through kind of a non-Rhapsody solution. We heard, we listened, we wrote notes, and we kind of controlled for it so that whenever we brought on LabCorp, it was absolutely seamless as it went through our system. So those were issues that we were able to address, kind of head them off at the pass, if you will, even before they went into production. Some of the enhancements that are coming out, the CSC is listening to us as well too. Some of the system reference tables and the maintenance of those, LOINC tables, SNOMED tables, the maintenance of those within NBS in order to support what we're doing with this ELR process have come out of a lot of those NUG calls as well too. State to local, I'm getting a 1 minute, and I am going to use up a little bit of extra time. Not too much, but a little bit of extra time here, because actually this is the very important part of, the exciting part is state to state. The very important part is state to local. The collaborations that occur with having a system like this, to where you're kind of having an end-to-end solution, really helps to focus the local regional efforts away from having to deal with electronic data exchange and away from a lot of the technology development, and allows them to focus much more on the investigation, analysis, and intervention of the diseases that you're trying to report through the system. The NBS jurisdiction assignment and security, it brings in the data as we were describing. Every state's going to handle their data differently. The NBS capabilities of assigning jurisdiction based on the incoming ELR has been wonderful and saved a lot of time on the local effort on the local side in terms of slicing and dicing and seeing from the old way of how data exchange had been occurring. Rollout plans, we had been working heavily with the locals in terms of rollout plans. Whenever we first brought on ELR, we said, look what we can do. The first thing that the locals said, don't you dare do it immediately, because they were looking at things like LabCorp. Our typical LabCorp daily file has 600 to 800 incoming lab tests a day. Not all of those are destined for the NBS, yet at the same time, 200 to 300 of them are. And they were saying that until we know how to use this system and have that paradigm shift from the old system into an electronic workbench, if you will, we'll get buried. So they really had an impact on how we did our rollout plans. They wanted us to start with a smaller lab, get those business processes down, and then allow it to transition during parallel testing. And again, as soon as we were done with the first one, we were tempted to say, okay, here comes the rest. Again, they were saying, no, phase us in. Bring us on one lab at a time. Let us get used to it. So there was a lot of angst stopped kind of from the beginning because of their input. What are they saying? I took this a couple of snippets from emails. What's the response to the ELR and the NBS from the local environment? You know, labs are getting to the locals much quicker and efficiently this way, is what one of the locals said to us. Another said, a much better mechanism for getting the reports than the old system. Programmatic and technology, again, we talked about this being a cross-cutting strategy. The management is individualized. We can take the messages and format them not only in terms of content, but also in terms of format. What does your consuming product need to have the message look like and be populated with? It also really helps to strengthen the partnerships with our labs. Our public health lab, for instance, started developing an HL7. They had been using an ASCII format before. We started working with them in an HL7 format. The robust nature of the HL7 data really helped to get a much better standardized data exchange. I don't know how to say it other than to say our locals were so much happier in terms of the depth and breadth of the data that was coming in, as opposed to the old ASCII format exchange that had been occurring. And it really expands our ability to automate the process of laboratory exchange, as opposed to the manual way of, okay, when did you get the file? You know, when did it run through? How did it work? Now we can say, you know, it's 10 o'clock, LabCorp just ran through our system. You know, we know when it hit. Make office feel better. Oh, that's my cue. This is actually my last slide. Kind of in conclusion, you know, what does this mean? What are the take-home messages? You know, in my opinion, it's the use of the CDC-developed NBS has promoted the use, the core use of the NEDS standards. You know, the things that we wanted and envisioned, you know, years back. Well, the NBS is hitting that mark. Hitting the mark for ELR, our use of the Rhapsody product has really helped to define and promote a foundation for us to have an industry standard tool set for handling incoming ELR. Put those two together, it's really helped to promote standards-based electronic laboratory reporting for us. And whenever you have that type of putting tools, putting systems together, collaboration and partnerships develop and have prospered as we align on tool sets and standards. Thank you.